prices are going up and consumers are responding.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll look at this morning's numbers on consumer prices and find out how consumers are fighting back with their wallets. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow's down 12 points at 12,683. The Nasdaq down 0.3%, and the S&P 500 down 0.1%. France told us today that its economy grew by 1% last quarter. Germany, 1.5% growth. Both of those numbers may sound low, but they actually beat expectations, in part thanks to the European debt crisis, which is weakening the euro and making exports more attractive. Now let's get back to the United States and talk about this morning's data on consumer prices. They were up 0.4% last month. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial, and he joins us live now as he does every Friday. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So this slight rise in consumer prices, we've been seeing this for many months. Is this the same old gas and food prices are going up story?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a broken record, but it's absolutely what it is. Excluding those prices, we're up 0.2. But boy, those gas prices especially just keep rising every month.
And yet, Chris, gasoline futures plunged this week. Investors who invest in gasoline, those prices went down. What does that say?
Well, that's right. Earlier this week, the Department of Energy reported a rise in gasoline inventories. It was a big surprise because there's a bunch of refineries down in Texas that are suffering from rolling blackouts, which means for inventories to be up, people are buying less. That means a change in consumer behavior. It means it's having that this price increase is having an effect on economic activity.
And I have to say, when we talk about prices going up, 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 and then all of a sudden going down again, it reminds me of 2008, right before the financial crisis. Isn't that what happened with oil prices then?
It is, but I don't think it plays out the same way this time. And the reason is you'll notice, well, down big this week. That's because speculators are backing away. They're just not willing to play the same kind of brinksmanship games they did last time, partly because they lost their shirts in 08.
They sure did, and a lot of other people, too. Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, now to Silicon Valley, where a big rivalry is getting a little more intense. Google and Facebook have been fighting for talent and ad revenue, and there's a battle for public perception. Well, yesterday, Facebook admitted it secretly hired a public relations firm to plant ugly stories about Google in newspapers and on blogs. Marketplace's David Gura reports now on the ethics of corporate PR.
In PR, the goal is to get people to believe your story. Carl Howe is an analyst with the Yankee Group. He says Facebook took a page from Microsoft's PR playbook. When that company faced antitrust allegations in the 90s, it tried a technique called astroturfing.
It's fake grassroots. They're trying to indicate that there's a groundswell that people are against this, but it really was just entirely artificial.
According to Howe, Facebook and Google have two different visions of the future, and each company thinks it's right. He says Facebook's PR firm, Burson Marsteller, just did what PR firms do.
There's an old story that there's no bad PR because people talk about you.
But Paul Argenti disagrees. He teaches corporate communications at Dartmouth.
No, it's not really true. There is bad PR, and this is definitely it.
The real loser here, he says, isn't Facebook or Google. It's the public relations industry.
You already thought public relations was kind of a sleazy profession. This didn't help to change your mind.
Argenti says that when competition heats up, strange things happen. But PR firms have to be transparent and ethical. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
The arts and crafts store chain Michaels says a debit card security breach is bigger than initial reports. It has affected customers in at least 20 states. Thieves managed to steal customer debit cards and PIN numbers from checkout terminals. And the fact that we're talking debit cards and not credit cards makes all the difference, as Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
Michaels stores are still investigating how it happened, but some Michaels debit card customers noticed hundreds of dollars missing from their bank accounts. Getting that cash back will be much tougher than if they had used a credit card to make their purchase.
A lot of consumers think plastic's plastic, and that ain't true.
That's Curtis Arnold with CardRatings.com. He says if fraud's committed with your credit card, you're only liable for up to $50, and even that fee is usually waived. But with debit cards,
you can be vulnerable for up to $50, even reporting it within 2 days. And then if you report it within 60 days, you can still be vulnerable for up to $500.
Wait longer than 60 days, and you could be forced to eat the entire loss. Arnold says debit card fraud has expanded recently as credit card security has tightened. Debit cards will probably get more federal protections when a new consumer watchdog agency goes live this summer. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally to Broadway, where Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark reopened last night after a 3.5-week overhaul. This is the same $70 million production of Spider-Man that has been plagued by injuries and mechanical malfunctions. According to reports, last night's show went over without any major glitches. It was also the 146th preview performance of the program. Perhaps the thought is a show can't be closed if it never opens. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A question for you metrosexuals out there. The last time you bought a suit, did you happen to think Bradley Cooper?
So they're trying to walk him over to the other department and say, gee, did you see the movie Hangover? Did you see what all the guys wore? Don't you want to look like them?
I'm Kai Rizdahl, and oh, what I wouldn't say to sell you this tuxedo. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.